Well, this story is yet another provocative move, and an intentional provocative move from the Washington regime. It's all part of an effort to try to squeeze Iran anywhere it is except on its actual terrestrial territory. The U.S. has made it clear that it is, for all intents and purposes, too afraid of actually doing to Iran what it horribly did to Yugoslavia in 1999, Iraq in 2003, and Libya in 2011. Instead, the U.S. is using a combination of hybrid threats and hybrid warfare, which are the culmination of sanctions on Iran and Iranian assets, the threat of sanctions against Iranian partners, whether that be China and Russia on one side of the world or on the European Union, and the signatories, the parties to the JCPOA there. The third element is, of course, encouraging the Zionist regime to bomb Syria, Iran's primary ally in the Arab world. And, of course, then there's the United States with its large naval presence in the Persian Gulf, which is there at a moment's notice to provoke Iran. So these latest developments need to be seen within that framework. Nothing more, nothing less. It's part of an overarching strategy to try to strangulate Iran economically and regionally. But ultimately, if the chief JCPOA prevails, based on the current sentiments of all the other parties to the deal, the U.S. might find themselves embarrassed. A bit as embarrassed as the Zionists have been when Syria is constantly able to intercept a majority of their rockets, including in one of the largest attacks on an Arab nation in the history of Zionist aggression. So it's a dangerous game, but thus far Iran has been able to maintain its sovereignty, maintain its partnerships, maintain its presence, and if anything, the respect for Iran in the wider region is very much going up, not least because Iran is one of the few nations that has consistently sided with Palestine, and the recent horror show that we've seen in Gaza makes it clear that Iran's long-term support for Palestine has been a morally and ethically correct decision.